to Thraveler Radio Show. I'm Aaron Dakins. Thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for wanting to learn like we do. Thank you for journeying or accompanying us on our path, our journey into the truth, no matter how hard it seems to deal with. And trust me, there's a lot of days I just want to go back to bed because sometimes I can't handle the truth. But we have to, because we have to keep going. We have to expose the darkness, expose it to light, because we are the people of light. That's what we are. That's who we were born to be. It's in our blood. It's in our DNA. And we have to fight for it, because the darkness does try to take over. And the darkness is taking over a little corner of my life when that darkness kidnapped a good friend of mine, Thomas David, House of Deegan, is how he likes to be referred. Thomas was arrested, unfortunately, on the night he was supposed to be on the show with me. It's been kind of a bizarre little roller coaster ride through this, because I do feel completely helpless on what to do. But the gentleman I have with me tonight, they're really fighting for him, along with Alicia, out in California. There's many people on his side. I know he gets lots of prayers. I ask for prayers for him many, many nights on the show. I have not forgotten him, nor will I ever put it to rest until he's free. Because we can't. He's one of us, and he's doing this for us. It's not for him. He's certainly not getting rich on this. He's not really even gaining the limelight. He doesn't have his 15 minutes of fame. It's not anything about that. In fact, what notoriety he's gotten through mainstream sources makes him sound like a nut job. And we know it's the furthest from the truth. What he spoke and what he continues to speak, even while incarcerated, is the truth. And that's what we're fighting for. That's what it's all about. Our gentlemen guests tonight are Phil Hudock and Gene Stalnecker. Now, you can find a lot of information up at Hudock. It's HUDOK.info, Hudock.info. I also have a link at the Truth Traveler. I also put a link up at the Truth Traveler to a video for you all to watch on Thomas's hearing. It was video recorded. You can go watch that. Pretty impressive. And I'm going to let Phil and Gene get into that tonight. I'm not going to spoil it, but it is up there, so you guys have got a direct link right to it. You can go to it. Welcome to the show tonight, Phil and Gene.
Thank you, Aaron. Glad to be aboard.
Hi, Phil. Hi, Gene.
Hi, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. How are you gentlemen doing?
Pretty good.
Well, it's like you said, it's definitely a roller coaster ride. I wake up in the mornings, and sometimes that's the toughest part, because it's like it's like going from one dream world to another.
To a nightmare.
But the second one is not really a dream world. It's reality posing as a dream.
And posing as a nightmare is what I say. There's a lot of mornings, especially, it's not ever been so bad as it has been the last couple weeks. For whatever reason, I can't answer that. It's just like I wake up and think, what am I doing? What's this all about? I don't even want to get out of bed. And I know this too shall pass. It always does when we have some kind of weird form of depression. But it's like, when you have friends that are incarcerated, friends that are sick, friends that are going through their own tough times, you have your own problems, and then you've got all the world's problems, sometimes you just kind of want to say, okay, I'm going back to bed now.
Yeah, it's like waking up to a firing squad.
pretty much.
And getting ready to run. So usually when I hit the ground, it's like, move as fast as I can, and I feel better. When, you know, once I start moving, and that's...
I do, too.
I think that's the key to human action or motivation, that they go together, action and motivation. You know, once you do something, that becomes motivating you to do something else. And so, that's... We all have things to overcome. I mean, that's part of life.
True.
Every day, I think of Thomas being incarcerated. It's about 70 days. I'm not sure exactly. One day can seem like eternity.
When
you've lost your freedom and, you're isolated and vilified, And one of the things I said in my letter to to the Metropolite in my cover letter was when I think of Thomas, I think of some characteristics like knowledge, honor, and bravery. And when you combine those three, I don't know of anyone who surpasses Thomas. You know, his knowledge, the honor of what he did, which put him in danger. Whenever you go against, when the government is wrong, it's dangerous. It's dangerous to be right when the government is wrong.
Yeah.
And so he was doing it for the right reason. A lot of people think bravery is like running into a burning house, and there can be some bravery in that, but real bravery is manifest when someone knows the downside and weighs it, ponders it, goes over it and over it, and says, "Well, I've got to do this." You know, that's real bravery. A lot of the other things that are called bravery are just response, instinct.
Right.
And bravery requires a lot of thinking to actually be brave, because then you have the chance to back out. You
have a chance to ponder the consequences to your actions.
Right. Exactly. So, there's just been a lot going on. I mean, it's been a real roller coaster ride.
What I would like to do first, Phil and Gene, is let's go back to what in the heck happened. Why did they arrest him? I understand there was a phone call. I'm talking a conference call, listeners, not just a phone call, okay? A conference call. My personal belief, and I don't know how much you want to get into, Phil, my personal belief is he was set up. I knew it was a problem to begin with. Thomas is stubborn, so imagine that. I feel like he was set up. I feel like there were words put into his mouth that he didn't say. I feel like this is just a way to put him in there to shut him up.
Definitely that last day, that last conference call, which was followed by a second conference call, those were definite agent provocateurs in my mind, no doubt about it.
And, mine as well.
And they had their sights set. We know how the dark side operates, because, well, at least for me, it's been over 20 years, this battle. And they have a playbook, and they follow it. And they can follow it because most people are either apathetic or ignorant. And so they get away with it. And when something works, why change the plan? But he was, everything he did is expressed in the West Virginia Constitution, the Declaration of Independence. As a matter of fact, what he did was duty, right and duty, to point out what's wrong. And it's just interesting that the West Virginia Constitution, the second one, the first one was 1863,
okay,
and that's when West Virginia was Republican, and of course Lincoln was Republican, and the 1863 Constitution was thrown out, and a new one was written in 1872. The state had flipped to a Democratic control, and in those 9 years. I believe the state of West Virginia, the people of the state of West Virginia, realized that they'd been snookered, that everyone lost because of all the freedoms and the growth of the federal government was oppressive to not just, the South that lost, but also to any freedom-loving people. And so they put some powerful things in the 1872 Constitution. When you look at the preamble, and it says, "Faith and constant reliance upon God, and seek diligently to promote, preserve, and perpetuate good government."
Mm-hmm.
And then you look at Article 1, Section 2, and it says, "Among the powers so reserved to the states is the exclusive regulation of their own internal government and police." and it is the high and solemn duty of the several governments, departments of government, created by this Constitution to guard and protect the people of this state from all encroachments upon the rights so reserved. And then the third section of Article 1, which says that our Constitution is operative alike in a period of war as in time of peace. They had realized, they put these things weren't in the 1863. So they beefed it up. They said, wait a minute, you know, we need more protection. You know, we need to guard our freedoms. And then you take the Declaration of Independence where it says, you know, it's your right and your duty to overthrow tyranny and replace it. You know, we petitioned, did exactly what you should do first, just as the founders of the country did. They petitioned the king. They said, hey, listen, you know, this is wrong. They pleaded with him to do the right thing. And that's how we started out, with a petition for redress of grievances and breach of promise. And these folks,
based upon the fact that that Constitution had not been thrown out yet, supposedly, and that
right.
it was still in effect, correct?
Right.
Now, I do have people that are they're confused. Let's go back again to the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
To the day that Tom was arrested. Tom was on a conference call. This was like a kind of like one of those big Patriot conference call things, okay? And there was a guy that was kind of picking a fight with him. When Tom sent me the video of the guy, this guy that was picking a fight with him, the guy made a video on his own picking a fight at Tom. Now, Tom emailed that to me. I still have it somewhere in my email. Okay, well, let's just leave it. This guy was not probably just your average, ordinary citizen, so to speak. Okay. Was the gut feeling I got, and I go with my gut anymore, Phil. We'll be right back, Phil and Gene. The curious case of Thomas's incarceration. And I'm just going back to what I remember, Phil, okay?
Uh-huh.
Or Gene, you guys jump in and tell me I'm stupid and I'm wrong at some point. But I remember him showing me that video, and I called him and I said, this is a tree you really don't want to be barking at. This guy's a plant. He's a spook. You need to be careful. And he went on another call. And that seems to be, after that, that's what got him in trouble, was on that call. They were accusing Thomas of saying, basically, we need to take guns in and pull all these government officials out. And I don't know, all sorts of stuff. They made him sound like a nut job. Now, have I got it sort of right?
Yes, that's what they're painting him as. And, you know, how many times did you hear him say he didn't want anyone to get hurt? Remember that? Many times.
He said that multiple times. And here was my take on this too, guys, was that the things that Thomas says are things that we've all said. We need to, you know, if you believe you can take the country back, which I don't, I think we're pretty much done, but we do want our country back. We want common law, you know, God's laws restored in this land. We want to get rid of the maritime admiralty. We, you know, the Constitution's better than what we have now, and it wasn't perfect. We want to restore it. All of these creatures that inhabit quasi-corporate government positions should be tried for treason. We've all said the same things that Thomas did. Have we not?
Yes, we have. And when you let government be God, you guarantee hell on earth. We let government run away like a truck going, you know, a big truck going down a hill without brakes. And sooner or later, there's going to be a crash. And we're seeing the crash has been happening. We just haven't had the major. You know, we haven't hit the brick wall yet. But we've all said those kind of things. And people have said things to me, and I wouldn't repeat them.
Me neither. I've heard a lot worse. Yes, Phil,
yeah,
you're correct.
I've heard a lot worse, and I've heard worse reported on television by some, I wouldn't say celebrities, but people of renown who have said things that I'm just amazed at, that there aren't repercussions there, you know. But, you know, we've gone into pre-crime, we've gone into judging thought crime. We've gone from physical and property and damage to persons to possible damage, may damage in the future, you know. And yet we have a government that seems hell-bent on putting us in a situation where a losing situation where we can't win by giving illegals benefits, by bringing people in from countries that are, we know there are people in those countries, many of them sworn enemies of us, and yet they're being brought in. It's like a Trojan horse coming into your backyard every day.
Well, they're allowing this to happen. I know it's by design, so we've got to upset the apple cart even further. Why not?
Right. There is no, like you say, it looks like the train wreck's going to happen. Just how bad is it going to be? And
pretty bad.
Do you fight it out of principle and out of, being a servant of God? Or do you just say, well, you know, I'm just going to be selfish and, just throw away our heritage and leave nothing for our posterity?
I look at it as legacy. And what's our legacy going to be? So I look at it pretty much the same way as you do, Phil, it sounds like. What are we leaving our children? What kind of world are they going to inhabit? What kind of country will they live in? Unfortunately, I think a lot of our kids are going to see war on this land pretty soon. But we're not here to talk about that. Anyway, let's get back to Thomas. So basically, I feel like Thomas was railroaded because he figured out something that they don't want out there. And Doc has been really thinking about this since he's been sick and he's had more time to think. We'll be right back with this after break. We've got Phil Hudock and Gene Stownecker tonight. Welcome back. Our guests are Phil Hudock and Gene Stownecker. We're discussing Thomas David House of Deegan's incarceration, wrongful incarceration. He didn't say anything that none of us have said. The people that listen to these shows, that read alternative media, that study history, that study the Bible, have said these things. It's kind of supposed to be our duty to overthrow a dastardly government. And that's exactly what we have. By not doing anything and by sitting back and letting this happen, and we pay our taxes because we're forced to do so. I understand that. It's coercion, extortion, whatever you want to look at it. We allow so much murder and mayhem around this globe. But it kind of puts us part and parcel with the enemy. On the other hand, so then I've asked myself multiple times, is it a sin to allow this to continue? And in my head, I know the truth. So what Thomas was doing was the correct thing to do. He was taking a stand for right, no matter the cost to himself personally. He told me many times how far he was willing to take this. I'm not going to say it on air, but he did tell me how far he was willing to take this. So I don't know, guys. I mean, does anybody think I'm crazy? Maybe I don't want you to answer that.
Well, I'm sure Gene would agree with me that this is first and foremost a spiritual battle. It always has been and always will be.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you can't save the country, you still have to do what's right. And then it gets down to an individual, a matter of individuals, you know, educating individuals, bringing them up to speed. If you care about their souls, because the dark side, the reason they're so dark is they do, as the Bible says, they serve their father, the devil, which is to steal, kill, and destroy. And don't we see that? Gene?
Yeah,
Gene, you need to chime in. You're awful quiet.
Well, I was just thinking, Phil, you know, he usually does cover everything, but just for information, you know, simply put, he was arrested for what he said. Not what he did or what he said should have been done, but... I'll read, Phil did quote the Constitution, but I'll read the 1863 Constitution as it read in 1863 when we became a state. On freedom of speech, and this is 1863, and then I'll read the 1872, which amended a particular part of it, and you can see that what Tom said or what anyone would have said, you know, is justified by the Constitution. But Phil knows that as well as I do that they don't really go by it.
No.
That's our problem is. No matter what we do or what we say, they just ignore it. I mean, the Constitution is there, but it's, you know, they're sitting on it or something. You know, it's hidden.
I think they burnt it myself, but anyway.
Yeah. But anyway, the 1863 under the Bill of Rights in the West Virginia Constitution, it's Section 4 in 1863, and then the other will change. No law abridging freedom of speech or of the press shall be passed, period. But the legislature may provide for the restraint and punishment of the publishing and vending of obscene books, papers, and pictures, and of libel and defamation of character, and for the recovery in civil actions by the aggrieved party of suitable damages for such libel or defamation. And this next section was a section that was taken out in 1872.
Okay.
Attempts to justify and uphold an armed invasion of the state or an organized insurrection therein during the continuance of such invasion or insurrection by publicly speaking, writing, or printing, or by publishing or circulating such writing or printing, may be by law declared a misdemeanor and punished accordingly. Now, that was in the 1863, the original. And so that reads that during the insurrection, you have to remember that West Virginia actually was in an insurrection at the time from Virginia. So the 1872 one, when they made their changes in 1872, these changes were it went from what I just read, but it left out this section I just read. The 1872 says no law abridging the freedom of speech or the press shall be passed, but the legislature may, by suitable penalties, restrain the publication or sale of obscene books, etc., which is the same as the 1863 read in the first part. But this attempts to justify and uphold an armed invasion was left out. Well, that's proof that they didn't want any restriction whatsoever on speech.
Okay. Wouldn't you consider what Thomas did an exercise of his free speech?
I do. Mm-hmm. Now he would be responsible for the end results of anything if it would happen, that damage or the end result if a bad result would come, but not by speaking it. The Constitution gives him a right to speak it.
Well, that's right. And then I look at people like Farrakhan that came out and said to the black people, you know, kill white people and kill cops.
Yeah.
And he's still roaming around free.
Yeah.
And then we have the people like George Soros that run Black Lives Matter, and they've made it open season on white people. He's still free too, isn't he?
Yeah, but that goes right back to what the goal of this unlawful government we have. That goes back to their goal. Their goal is to do away with all our rights. Well, they will ignore those people who they want to ignore.
Exactly. Well, they do, yes.
It's their end, what suits their end is ignored. But what protects us is, well, it's also ignored too, but it's our right to do. It's not their right to do what they're doing. It's actually unlawful.
Well, it is. And you guys were filing different lawsuits against the state of West Virginia, which is probably what obviously got Thomas on the radar.
Oh, yeah.
I think you guys found, but Doc hasn't extrapolated on this to me. He's just been too sick, but basically, you guys stumbled on something that they didn't want you to stumble on, and Doc has more to share at some point, that they had to try to stop it. So I have to wonder out loud, and as Brad always says, don't wonder too far, I'll get lost, but are they going to try to contact him while he's in there and make him more offers, try to shut him up, try to change his course, his direction, coerce, intimidate, that kind of thing? I have to wonder if that's not going to happen or if it hasn't already happened to him. Well, I'm not saying he caved in. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying they want him to shut up.
Well, that's what they wanted the very first time that they abducted him. And see, he had helped scores of people in legal action, and that upset their modus operandi, and so that's why they put him in solitary confinement the first time, because they wanted to shut him up, and it didn't work. So two subsequent arrests or abductions, actually none of them was legal or lawful, I should say, and so they're, they use intimidation. They use the chill factor. They use making examples out of people. That's what they're trying to do here. Say,
yes.
It's hopeless to fight us because you'll lose. It doesn't matter if you're right, you're going to lose. And you're stupid to fight because you'll lose. But, amazing things have happened. And I think the danger of Thomas is that he exposed their machine. Their machine, in my mind, besides working for the dark side, which is where they get their power, a good example of that is Chuck Norris's son, Michael Norris, is producing a movie called Amerageddon, and he was interviewed on Alex's show. And I was glad to hear that he understood that it was first and foremost a spiritual battle. Okay.
Interesting. Okay.
And when Thomas exposed the corporate Borg, he exposed the mechanism by which all this is done. If they didn't have corporations, they couldn't operate the criminal, racketeering that they're doing. It's that those corporations, those fictions, that enabled them to operate. It's kind of like the mafia having some legitimate enterprises or you know, the Masons have in their Shriners and their hospitals, you know. The corporations don't look like octopi or octopuses.
but they are. They are. Well, they had to be able to subvert God's laws or common law, law of the land, and they've snuck all this malarkey in. Guys, we'll be right back after this. Bill Pudot and Gene Stelmacher, we're discussing Thomas David House of Deegan. I don't want to get into a whole lot because this is a short segment, gentlemen, and we got a long break and then a long segment. But I have to, well, let's briefly go over Friday. You were supposed to have a hearing Friday morning at 9:30 in Parkersburg in West Virginia, and that didn't happen. You want to explain that?
Yes, I'll read the WTAP Fox website news article for what happened that day. Update: Deegan hearing continued, no reason given. This is 12/11/2015. 11:53 a.m., Parkersburg, West Virginia, WTAP. A hearing is continued for a man accused of trying to overthrow West Virginia's state government, but no one says why. Supporters and family members of David Deegan waited nearly an hour for Deegan's scheduled court appearance while another hearing was in progress. They were told by a court bailiff the Deegan hearing was continued. The Wood County Prosecutor's Office gave no further details. The hearing was not specifically about the current charge. It had to do with a motion by prosecutors to revoke Deegan's home confinement from a previous drug conviction. A hearing on that motion last month was continued to Friday. No new hearing date has been set. So this is an interesting development. Thomas was aware that the hearing was canceled at 6:30. We got to the courthouse before 9:30 because it was supposed to start at 9:30. We even got permission for Carl Swenson, who came up from Atlanta with his friend Heather, to videotape. We got permission for them to videotape because I had sent a fax and had made phone calls to Judge Reed, who is the judge who was to preside over this hearing, and he didn't respond. So I took the fax that I took, sent to Judge Reed, and the bailiff went in and got permission from the judge for Carl to videotape. However, they knew at 6:30 that there wasn't going to be any hearing, so they were playing a game. And we sat there until after 10 o'clock, and then we were notified there is no hearing. Something is up.
Yeah, I'd say just a little bit.
And I want to thank people who sent emails and FOIA requests asking for the oath of office of numerous people involved in this situation. We're talking the magistrate, the judge, the state trooper, the prosecutor, and also there were requests for information on the providers of the bonding insurance for these public officials. And because Cookie had heard, Thomas's mother had heard on a broadcast 2 days before the hearing that the county was in default on paying their bond, and when she checked into it, they acted very strange. She explained the story of how things didn't make sense, and suddenly the story was gone, and it just, you know, it's been unbelievable how many times they've been guilty of obstruction of justice or not providing the arrest papers, using a number for the trooper who was on the arrest warrant. He went by a number instead of a name. It just goes on and on and on and on. It just seems like if there's a way they can break the law or not follow the law or ignore the law, they do.
True that.
I believe they do it on purpose, again, because they you know, you've heard of the motto, order out of chaos?
Yes.
You know, chaos is fear and chaos are great motivators. You know, look how they manipulate during wars and during financial crises, and that's what they're doing. They're playing games.
Yes, they do like the chaos. They do. Guys, we're going to have our long break, then we'll be up after that. So I'll see you on the other side. Welcome back to the Truth Chapter. I'm Erin, and please, 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 listeners, Doc and Susan are still desperately in need of some help. So if you have a few extra Federal Reserve notes laying around and you go to the watermanfiles.com and slide him a donation, we're hoping to keep his water on, okay? So he did get his rent paid, and he's bought some supplements. He still needs more. We just want to keep his water on. So please, if you can help, please do. 10, 20 bucks, whatever you can do. Is greatly, greatly, and humbly appreciated from Doc. This has been a very, very humbling experience for him. Hopefully he'll be back soon, because I miss him. Anyway, we're discussing Thomas David, House of Deegan. I've had requests for address, Phil. So if you don't have it with you during the next break, could you get it so we could throw it out there to people so they could write to him?
I can give you the address. I have it, and it's in my...
And then tell everybody, too, there's special things that you have to do. It's got to be a certain size and all that malarkey.
Right. Send any correspondence to Thomas in a white letter size envelope. You can't use a manila. That put us back about 3 weeks on legal papers going back and forth because they will not take anything except a white letter size envelope. His address is Thomas David Deegan, we'll go by what they have, North Central Regional Jail, North Central Regional Jail,
mm-hmm.
The next line is 1 Lois Lane, as in Superman.
I know, as in Superman.
Yeah,
okay.
Superman's in jail. On 1 Lois Lane is what it amounts to. And the town is Greenwood, and the two-letter state abbreviation is WV. And the zip code is 26415.
Do you need his inmate number on there too, Phil?
No, no inmate number.
You know, can you even send cards? Or does it have to be that stupid white envelope?
I've not sent a card. I think probably one would get through. I do know that there's a national magazine called American's Bulletin, and they asked me to write a featured article for their November, December, and I was surprised. Now, I did tell Robert Kelly, the publisher, that they only accept, you know, first-class envelopes. And I think, I'm not sure how they sent it to him, because it'd be pretty hard to put that big magazine into an envelope. But Thomas did say he got it. So maybe it depends on who's, I don't know. You know, the rule.
I don't know either. I never heard of anybody getting a magazine in jail either.
Well, the Christian Bible study and ministry that we have here called Call to Decision, we do put out a magazine, a monthly magazine called Call to Decision, and it's been going to different prisons, and some prisons will accept them, other prisons will stamp it contraband and send them back.
Right.
And some of them changed from accepting them to not accepting them, so it's just like which way's the wind blowing today.
True. Very true. They're all privately run corporations, so I guess they all have their own rules too, right?
They're for-profit organizations, right. Prison industries is one of the fastest growing segments of the economy.
Exactly. And it's a big money maker. Hence, all these people that have never hurt anybody or anybody's property are in the clink. Thomas would be one of them.
Exactly.
Now,
I filed a writ of habeas corpus in Doddridge County.
Okay, go back to that, Phil. I want you to explain, before you get into it, explain what a writ of habeas corpus is. There's a lot of people, believe it or not, that don't know what that is.
A writ of habeas corpus is a guaranteed right that people have to file for someone else. In other words, on behalf of Thomas, I have filed a writ of habeas corpus, which basically says you have 72 hours to justify that this person has been lawfully detained or arrested, incarcerated. Now, I'm not sure. We have questions as to West Virginia and what West Virginia's interpretation is or what their statutes are, and that is Leonard out of California. Leonard and Alicia both came here to help and stayed several weeks to help Thomas. And in talking to Leonard, he says there's a question as to whether the 72 hours turns into a 30-day petition after the 72 hours is up. In other words, some places they have 72 hours, and if they don't produce evidence that they're acting lawfully, then the person is released. Leonard says possibly West Virginia, there may be another 30 days additional tacked on. But we have filed in Doddridge County, which I will say is they were very polite, very helpful. Unlike Wood County, you go to Wood County and it's like you're a big bother. And, when I went there, the first person couldn't deal with me. The second person came. She said, I can't handle this. The third person came. And I believe that was the circuit clerk. And if looks could kill, I'd be dead. However, Doddridge County was very helpful, tried to find a way to waive the $200 filing fee, which we couldn't waive it, but and very helpful in giving me advice. And they are serving the other they are serving the six defendants. Doddridge County is going to do that for us. There's a cost involved, but this way the state attorney general and Judge Reed and Magistrate Waters and State Trooper Williams and Prosecutor Wharton are going to be served by the Doddridge County Circuit Clerk. So it's going to be very interesting, and the clerk asked me if I wanted to set a hearing date. I want to request a hearing date, and I wanted to talk to Thomas first. I have talked to Thomas. Thomas said, go ahead and schedule a hearing date as early as possible. And tomorrow I will call the clerk who will get subsequent documents from me in the mail, certified return receipt tomorrow, because we did have one case number was incorrect, and so I filed an amended complaint, talked to them and over the phone, and so they know it's coming. And so tomorrow I will request a hearing for Thomas.
Okay, very good. Now, I want to go back to when you first brought up the writ of habeas corpus. And you said that was, and maybe Gene wants to chime in on this, you said that was one of our guaranteed rights. Who guarantees that right, is my question.
There is, a federal statute in the West Virginia. We quoted the West Virginia statute that deals with habeas corpus. It's Article 453-4A1, which basically explains that it's the right of any individual to file a habeas corpus, either for themselves or on behalf of somebody else, and mm-hmm. that if they are impeded in their serving of papers for writ of habeas corpus, that there are penalties if you are impeded in trying to exercise that right. Because I know I had to look it up when Alicia and Leonard were here, because they were being impeded. Alicia was actually physically removed from the Justice building. I call it the Justice, not Justice, but Justice.
Mm-hmm.
Judicial complex or building, but then, you know, they've been guilty of obstruction of justice, the magistrate clearly, by ordering the sheriff around.
Let me interrupt here, Phil, but the magistrate, she even forbade the sheriff from delivering it.
Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah.
I was under the impression, really, that a lot of the court, if you want to call them that, totally ignore writs of habeas corpus anymore.
Well, they ignore the Constitution that specifies what money is. You know, that's one of the things Gene tried to do, was to get his state refund in constitutional money. He couldn't get it, so...
I'll say good luck with that. Uh-huh. Yeah, not going to happen.
I even went and showed the treasurer real money.
And what did the treasurer say?
They act like they'd never seen it before. It was a treasurer and an assistant treasurer.
Okay.
Yeah. He was my neighbor at one time, the treasurer was, so...
Oh, okay.
Didn't have any problem with the appointment, but they were surprised what the appointment was about.
I bet you probably threw them for a loop, Gene. I can imagine.
But they, they basically sent me letters saying that they would no longer communicate with me.
That's polite of them, I guess. We lose a lot of friends, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Has anybody talked to Thomas lately?
I talked to Thomas yesterday.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He's holding up okay?
It's wearing on him. It's hard. And he hasn't been feeling good. He's had a temperature. you know, the food there is... questionable.
I totally get that, trust me. And there's not enough of it. So hold that thought. We'll be right back to Thomas Deegan after this. Welcome back. We have Phil Hudock and Gene Stelnick. We're discussing Thomas's incarceration. Now, right before the break, we're talking about how he was doing, Phil. You said he's running a fever. Are they still, like, trying to freeze him out?
I know at one point that was the case, but I haven't heard anything about that recently, so I don't think so.
Okay. How's his commissary? Does he need commissary money?
Weather here now. It's been very strange.
Well, we have the same thing. I'm okay with it.
Yeah.
Global warming and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, how's his commissary? Does he need commissary? I have people asking me.
I know that Cookie put money on his commissary so that he could supplement or eat things that were, you know, that agreed with him, that were healthier. And I know he had a problem with a high amount of carbohydrates. You know, he had an automobile accident and is in trouble with his health before, and that's why he was using cannabis, was to circumvent all the prescriptions that were killing him originally.
Correct.
And, you know, you can't possibly doctor yourself. I mean, that's against the law.
It is. It is. And heaven forbid you would have the good stuff, you know, the plant that God made, right?
Right. Anyway. You've got to have big pharma's
big pharma stuff, or you've got to have the new genetically modified cannabis that's going around that, wow, I wonder where people get that to sell. Yeah. So, okay, do you think he needs more commissary, and how would people go about getting commissary money to him?
His phone calls come out of that commissary money also.
Correct, they do. You have to buy phone cards, don't you?
I'm not sure how they do it, but I know that the money in his commissary is used for his phone calls also.
Yes. Well, when you're in jail, you have to, when people put money on your books, is what they say, then you can use that to buy commissary items, or you can buy certain increments of phone cards. And see, that's a whole other racket. Don't even start me on that. But do they need to, how would they go about putting some money on his commissary, I guess? Does anybody know?
I don't know. You know, Cookie did. I know you could contact the prison, North Central Regional Jail, Greenwood, West Virginia. You know that address I've given you? If you Google that, you know, you can get the phone number and, you know, call them and that sort of thing.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Very good.
By the way, I have the U.S. code for habeas corpus petition, 18 U.S.C. 241 and 242, and then the 3 days comes under 28 U.S.C. 2243. So these, you know, U.S.C. is United States, you know, those are federal codes.
Okay. Federal codes. And I wonder if they even pay attention to that anymore.
And these documents are posted. If you go to New Documents, which is referenced on the homepage of hudoc.info, and just follow that link, it will take you to the actual document that's been filed.
Okay. All right. Well, guys, you're going to set a court date for you guys, too, right, Phil?
To be honest with you, I'm not sure how this works. I just know, and, you know, quite often we've had to go on faith, you know. We this whole thing wasn't planned from the very beginning. You know, I don't like to use the word evolution when it comes to humans, but when it came to this, you know, our actions, things did evolve, and we've seen the Lord work in this, in providing things that we needed at the right time. Sometimes we thought we were behind, but we realized we didn't have something right. Just like this last filing, there was a question which brought up another question, which pointed out that we had the federal habeas corpus case number rather than the circuit court case number, and so that was corrected, which otherwise, you know, if you make a mistake, you don't find out. It's kind of like, you know, when I mailed the things to Thomas, and it took me 3 weeks to find out he wasn't getting them. You know?
Yeah, exactly. Oh, I know, it's frustrating. All right, guys, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Our guests are Phil Hudoc and Gene Stelmacher. We're discussing Thomas David House of Deacon, his wrongful incarceration for comments that he really didn't even make. They misconstrued, took him out of context. A lot of people on that call, they're the ones that said it. Thomas really didn't even say it. So anyway, because of everything that you and Gene and Tom were doing in the state of West Virginia, filing your lawsuits to try to restore a rightful constitutional government in the state of West Virginia and get it away from being a corporation, and all these things that have happened with Thomas, do you feel like you guys are being investigated as well? Gene or Phil, are you there? Or did I lose everybody? Okay. All right, Kyle, I don't know where they went. Gentlemen, can you hear me?
Testing 1, 2, 3.
Okay, there you go. There you are. Did you hear my question, or do I need to repeat all that?
I heard your question, and I said they're listening right now, but you didn't hear me.
Well, apparently they are. So do you feel like you're being investigated or not?
I'm sure they're watching everything we do. By the way, I'm going to give you the number, the main number for the jail. You there?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay.
Yeah, this is the main number for the North Central Regional Jail in Greenwood, West Virginia. It's 304-873-1384. 304-873-1384.
Okay.
And there's some interesting things happening. I got to speak to a class, a government class at WVU, and lay out this whole story. There were about 40-some students in the class. I had an hour and 15 minutes with them. I spoke for an hour, and then I took questions, great questions, for 15 minutes. And afterwards, four or five students came up and thanked me for coming and speaking, and they were going to be tested on it. The professor told them that it would be part of their upcoming test, and that it would also be information on their final from my presentation. And the professor I know, he has a doctorate, and he was valedictorian in a school that I used to teach, and he's the kind of person that uses original documents in his class to make sure that the students get the truth. The whole truth, and from the horse's mouth.
Okay.
But he told me, he said, I was surprised. He said, I've learned something today, from the presentation, and I was hoping that would be the case, because we're in an information battle, and so it was fantastic. I haven't edited it yet. I've been so busy that interview that we did Friday at the Wood County Circuit Court. We did an interview outside, and that's going to be posted. There's a lot of information that I want to get out, and I'm sure they're watching. They go to my website, I'm sure. I'm actually a little surprised that it's still up. I mean, it should be up. They shouldn't take it down, but considering how they operate and how they detest the truth and don't want free speech, I'm surprised they haven't tried to squelch it. Although we did have a website that suddenly crashed, and so now we have two websites. We have a backup.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing, because they don't want the truth out. And here's the thing. I want to talk, I'm not trying to change subjects really per se, it's just that we're going to run out of time, believe it or not. I want to go to the video that you posted of Thomas's hearing that he had with Magistrate Waters. Let's go through that a little bit, because some of those, I love Thomas in that, he just wasn't going to back down. He's got more guts than I do, I tell you. I'm a wuss. Explain to people before they watch it how she basically said, are you willing to waive your rights to have an attorney? Let's go through that, gentlemen.
Well, that's exactly what she said. He said, he wanted assistance of counsel. And we know from other situations, there's a person by the name of Ted Eldon who was his case was thrown out of court because he wouldn't take an attorney, and they could not proceed without the king's attorney there.
Okay.
And so there was sparring between the magistrate Waters and Thomas, because she kept trying to say, well, if you can't afford one, you just fill out forget what they call it, indigent, request.
Right, right.
And it just went on and on, and Thomas was resolute. He knows what's going on, and he would not accept their attorney. However,
he wouldn't, and he kept saying what was key though, Phil? What did he keep saying? Because this is what cracked me. It's not funny, but it is because she was getting so frustrated. I almost felt like she was dealing with a 4-year-old, but she understood and she knew what Thomas meant when he would say, "No, I do not understand." And how many times did he say that during that 10 minutes?
I would say more than half a dozen times.
Yeah. At least.
Yeah. you know, it's like they say, you know, do not say anything without your attorney present. You know, do not submit to say he under. When she kept saying, "Do you understand?" She was wanting his submission, is what it amounted to, and he wouldn't submit.
No, she was, he wouldn't sign anything either. She was getting very frustrated, and then she actually said, "Well, I'm just going to appoint an attorney to you," and she appointed some attorney.
Right, and then she finally told. I'm trying to think of his name. Off the top of my head, I can't. But she told him, just sit there. It's like you would say to a 3-year-old, you know, who's not, or a 6-year-old, let's say, who's not eating their peas. You know, well, just sit there then, you know.
That's what she was doing. Now, I got to ask you a question, because I've watched that video probably 4 or 5 times. When you're taping everything, and behind Thomas, in the first row of seats to the very far end, there's 2 gentlemen sitting there. And the gentleman closest to the wall was grinning the whole time. Who was that? Do you know? Does anybody know? Because he seemed like a Fed. That's why I'm asking.
We occupied the entire right side of the facing the magistrate. We occupied all the seats on the right-hand side and some of the ones on the left-hand side, but the very edge where you could see behind Thomas, those weren't with us, those people.
They looked like feds, and that one guy had a grin on his face the entire time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I was just curious about who they were.
Don't know.
Okay.
Don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's someone from the outside or, you know, the state attorney general said he is involved in this case. And he's a defendant in the case where the state is in default and dishonor. In a case that really should not have been dismissed, it was illegally dismissed, so therefore it wasn't dismissed lawfully. And yet he said that he was going to defend the state, defend the state servants. Well, I don't think he called them servants. They never used the term servants.
Yeah,
officials.
He was on TV when he said that one.
Yes, I have that. I have that clip.
Well, and Thomas said that he wanted to face his accusers in person. And the judge almost was like, I can't believe you're saying that. I can't
exactly.
believe you're even bothering me with this tripe, right?
Right, and he wanted to know who the damaged party was. Face his accusers and where is the damage? Which, of course, they cannot produce either.
True. Very true. They can't. There wasn't anybody damaged. Who did he damage?
Well, I think her feelings were hurt. Judge Waters, yeah, but that was subsequent.
I don't know what they're going to do. They've kind of got themselves in a sticky wicket right now with what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm not going to let this case die down. I'm going to keep having you guys on. I'm going to keep Thomas's name out there.
Exactly. Regardless, I can tell you that it's kind of like this, Aaron. Let's imagine your house is on fire. Now, I did have a side building to my house where I have an outdoor wood furnace that caught fire. And you have to act. I mean, I was screaming for help. I was getting a water hose. And, you know, you don't slack off until the fire's out. I mean, you go full steam until the fire's out. You don't say, well, I'm going to take a break, you know. And our house is on fire. Our children's futures are bleak and getting bleaker or more bleak. And, you know, it's amazing that people would be more upset if someone drove through their yard and tore up the grass than if the government is unlawful and we're heading for a train wreck.
I don't think people anymore think that far ahead, to be honest with you. I think they just look at today. And I know, I understand the Bible tells us to live for today. Tomorrow's not here yet, and the past is already done. But when you do have children, you do have a legacy, and when you kind of, like most of us that are awake, see what's coming, that's not what I want to leave my children with. I'm like you. I wish our children could enjoy the same, quote-unquote, freedoms that we enjoyed as children. And that's not happened.
Not going to happen.
And here we are. We're stuck. Gentlemen, we'll be right back after this. I have been Phil Hudock and Gene Stelnecker. We've been discussing Thomas David, House of Deegan, his wrongful incarceration. Gentlemen, I did receive an email from Leonard, and he said, and for the listeners out there, no papers in the mail to Thomas can have any color. Only black and white due to the possibility of blotter drugs being implemented. So black and white only. We need to inundate that jail with letters to Thomas. We need to let him know that we do care. Some of us care very deeply. I miss Thomas. I miss learning from him. I miss his crazy sense of humor. Good grief. Anyway, he used to give me the hardest time. I miss it. Can you give out the address again, Phil, for everybody?
Sure can. Thomas David Deegan, Deegan, North Central Regional Jail, 1 Lois Lane, Greenwood, WV, 26415.
Okay, let's inundate the jail, send letters. And I don't know, but maybe we can send money orders in those letters too. The jailers are going to open them up anyway, okay? So they could probably, you could say, this is for Thomas's commissary. Would that work?
I don't know if they could, if he could do anything with a money order. Where would he take the money order?
Well, the jailers take it, and they can cash it. At least they do in Indiana.
I see. I would say call the jail and ask.
Okay, okay.
You know, because you don't know what their policies are unless you ask them, and then you're reasonably sure.
Okay, and you want to give out that phone number again, Phil?
Yes.
304-something.
Yeah, 304.
Of course, I know it's 304. That's West Virginia.
Yeah, 304-873-1384.
Okay. Send him some letters.
I would send a postal money order.
Okay.
You can buy these private money orders, but the postal money order, you have more security with those. If they're lost or misplaced, you have it's easier to
track it.
To track and get remedy for it if it's if it's lost or something.
Okay, and I think he would like to hear from people. I'm a terrible letter writer, but I'm going to write him a letter. Okay, I'm terrible. I always have been. I never wanted a pen pal. Okay, I do good to get emails out. So, but I think we can inundate that jail and let people know, including the feds that are listening to the show, that we're paying attention. We want to know what's happening with Thomas. We care about Thomas because Thomas is doing this for us. And unfortunately, Thomas is doing it for the feds. They're disillusioned, don't understand as well. That's what we have to remember. He's doing it for everybody.
That's correct. It's, you know, these people that that think they're going to come out ahead, if this thing continues to develop the way it's going, it's going to be hell on earth.
Yes. I call it the hellhole that's coming, where your daughters aren't safe and the babies will know no peace.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we have coming at us.
Yes. In my presentation at WVU, I used a 4-minute clip from The Matrix. It's called The Pill Scene. And if you haven't seen it, and I will get this posted soon. I mean, it just, I've just been so busy. I'm always thinking of things that I could do that I haven't done, even though I've, you know.
Join the club.
Yeah. But that pill scene says it all, you know.
It does.
It does.
It does. Yeah, it does. And you can't ever go back, so it is what it is.
And Lord willing, we will continue.
We're going to continue. We're not going to let his name. So many times, some of these people just drop off the radar. You know, they never get talked about again. They just get lost. And I'm sure those people feel like they've been abandoned.
Yeah. Well, you have one who's your sponsor there, Dan Pilla.
But he's not mine. He's Genesis. That's their commercials. Mm-hmm.
Well, he was. I remember when they imprisoned him, and they used his evidence where he made an actual copy of a dollar bill. Because
You'll have to tell me about that, Gene. But we're out of time. They're going to cut us off. Thank you, gentlemen. I will talk to you shortly.